Hello, everyone. Welcome to the weekly newscast here on PWPonderings.com. It has been one heck of a weekend, a ton of wrestling, apparently a lot of really great wrestling. So we're going to have a litany of guests on the show. Of course, I am Chris Gist, the web admin. We are starting off first. Jerome Cusan is joining us, our senior editor. Jerome, what a weekend, man.
It was a pretty fun weekend in some ways and disappointing in others. I'm sure we're going to get to that. But if you just watched NXT TakeOver and were at the Ring of Honor show, you probably had a spectacular weekend. If you sat through the booking of SummerSlam, well, maybe not so great. But, I mean, we're going to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly of this past weekend in Brooklyn, New York. And I guess we're even going to talk about Sabu in 2015 as well. And the Dudleys.
Oh, that is happening. That is happening, Jerome. I mean, I don't know what you're complaining about SummerSlam about. They had that really innovative match where they combined their first and secondary titles. Never see that anywhere. Never. So.
Ever.
Ever, exactly. So we had to bring on our women's wrestling podcast co-host, Ciara Reed. Ciara, how are you doing?
Hello.
Glad to have you on the show. Of course, a big weekend in wrestling. A lot of it kind of covering over the NXT TakeOver show. Speaking of the women's, it was the co-main event of the show, but really I think a lot of people have universally agreed it should have main evented.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
So yeah, what were your thoughts on the show? I mean, is this revolution, it's really taking place. Apparently tonight there was some mishaps with that, but as far as NXT is concerned, how did you like the match? What did you think that it lived up to everything? I don't know whether you watched it live or not, but I haven't seen it yet. But there's seemingly some high expectations of when I do view it.
I enjoyed it. I actually, going into this match, knew that I wasn't going to be disappointed. I'm a fan of Sasha Banks and Bayley's both, and they both somewhat, like, every time I turn around, they impress me more and more. So I had, like, those expectations that this is going to be good. And they proved it. It was good, and I couldn't help but, like, watch it. You know, there was not a time where I was just like, okay, let me reach over here for this or that. I sat there and watched it, and it seemed like everybody else enjoyed it, and I have to agree that this should have been the main event. It's kind of crazy that this match kind of, you know, everybody was saying that this match was better than the main event. And it's like, like, maybe there is something that they should have did with that booking, but they didn't. So, I mean, it's a great match. I think everybody should go watch it. And it's kind of cool to see Bayley, you know, when she first came into NXT, had this, you know, gimmick where she's kind of naive. She wants to hug everybody. She wants to be friends with everybody. And to see that this gimmick that so many people years ago said she'll be released within a year, it's not going to go anywhere, become NXT Women's Champion and prove everybody wrong.
Jerome, what were your thoughts on the match? I know I think you tweeted pretty highly about it, but also on top of what you thought, what did you think about that very click-esque ending to the match, which apparently was designed to be that way?
I mean, it was a pretty spectacular match. I mean, obviously, we're coming off a pretty incredible time period with the G1 and that kind, and so many great matches that came from that tournament. But this match was undoubtedly one of the best matches of the year again, and Sasha Banks has had a series of tremendous matches this year. And what else can you say about her NXT title reign? I mean, she is arguably one of the best divas of all time in the WWE's history already. And she really hasn't even played a factor on the main roster and is only 23 years old. But you look at the match quality that she has had, the level of matches that she has had with people like Charlotte, with Becky Lynch and Bayley. I mean, just a ton of great work that she's had on these NXT TakeOver specials. It's just terribly, terribly unfortunate that we have not seen Sasha Banks really get an opportunity on the main roster. But when you talk about this match, I agree. I think it should have been the main event. And I think Kevin Owens and Finn Balor are two of the best in the world as well. But when you consider what this match meant and the story surrounding it, this was Bayley's moment. This was a moment for the women's division. You don't see this every day in WWE. I think this was something very, very special, and it's not something that you're going to see in a lot of other wrestling companies. And I think NXT is has managed to do something successful that almost no other place has done, and that's get these female talents over as not divas, but as wrestlers. And that's really, really important. I mean, you look at every promotion across the world, they really don't get the job done when it comes to promoting the women athletes. And NXT, even better than the parent WWE, has been able to do that. And you can make a solid argument that a lot of these takeover specials could have been main evented by women's matches, and clearly Sasha Banks is someone that deserves an even bigger opportunity on the main roster. And hopefully we can get past this Divas Revolution business, because you can say it's a revolution, you can call it a revolution, you can say it until you're blue in the face, but it really doesn't matter. The bottom line is that in order for this to be successful, individual people have to step up and really elevate this division, because Nikki Bella is not going to be that person. It's got to be someone like Sasha Banks and probably Becky Lynch to an extent as well. So it was a spectacular individual effort from both of them, and I think it speaks well to the future of Sasha Banks, hopefully, on the main roster.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard a lot of people say that even though the WWE is seemingly standing behind their push of Charlotte, that it's been Sasha Banks really that's gone over. Ciara, what are your thoughts on this in terms of them bringing it up to the main roster and how they're doing faction warfare, I guess? Something like that with the women's?
I said it the first night when they got brought up to the main roster that out of everybody that came out, Sasha Banks had the presence that she had been on the main roster for 3 years already. She walked down that ramp like, this is what I do every night. I didn't see that with Charlotte. Like, I understand everybody's goo-goo gaga for her because she's Flair's kid. And she has that. She has the name to her. You know, her father is like one of the greats of this business. You can't dispute that. But it's kind of annoying that there's a lot of fans that are allowing that name factor, and the company is allowing that name factor to overshadow the fact that she, in my opinion, is not all that Daisy. Yeah, she's decent in the ring, but when you see Sasha Banks, just it's like completely different competitor as compared to Charlotte. She has a presence. She has the charisma. She has the moveset. She is just like a whole package. And Charlotte, to me, is not fully the whole package. I hate when I like watch Raw or something, and they'll say like she's the most athletic diva in the company, and I just be sitting there like, is there nobody else on the roster that is good? Like,
hey, she played college volleyball, okay, Ciara? So that's legitimate athleticism.
Charlotte's by far the sloppiest. If we want to go into this four horsewoman thing, she is undoubtedly number four of them. I mean, I think Bayley, Becky, and Sasha are significantly better. I think they have much better in-ring presence. And if you look at a lot of Charlotte's performances since she came to the main roster, they have not been good. She has not delivered. And you can talk about it. It doesn't matter what her last name is. The bottom line is, if she's not delivering in the ring, then she is hurting this quote-unquote Divas Revolution.
How is Becky in the ring? Because, I mean, I think Becky has definitely, she has charisma, she has presence, but I haven't watched a whole lot of her in terms of her in-ring stuff. Hey, is she better, I guess, would you say, than Charlotte?
Completely. Like, I mean, I guess for me, some fans are going to think I'm being biased because I'm familiar with her going back to, like, you know, when she was in Shimmer and stuff, but it's like when I watch her on Raw, I'm still feel like I'm watching Rebecca Knox still. You know, it's the same intensity, the same ring work and stuff. And she's completely, that's why I don't understand, like, were fans and the company kind of trying to paint it like she's not that good? She is great compared to Charlotte. I think Charlotte is the, out of all of them in that division, she is not the best, and I don't understand why they want to keep positioning her as that next diva, that next great competitor, when it's not really there. Compared to the other girls, no. Considerably not.
Yeah, no, I think that's understandable. That if you're going to have that comparison, then they have to, they kind of have to live up to it. And, but also, there is that flip side that the WWE has to allow them to live up to that. And I guess, I mean, on NXT, I've watched all the specials. I usually, you know, will try to watch the Wins Match if, you know, someone says it's particularly good. And so far, all of them on the specials have been really good. I don't know about the NXT, the television itself. I guess I'm assuming not. But if WWE allows them to have those good matches, particularly on a wide stage, like, for example, on a main pay-per-view, or even on Raw, then that's great. But I guess I just haven't seen it, or I haven't heard about that. It just kind of seems that it's also because they're pairing them up with women who may or may not be that great in the ring, and it's, hey, they can only do so much, right? It takes two to tango when it comes to professional wrestling. So it's like they can be really great, but, you know, that talent on the other side also has to kind of work at it. So, again, not saying that, like, Nikki and Brie aren't great wrestlers, but I wouldn't ever classify them as that.
Well, Brie definitely isn't. Brie's actually pretty bad.
Well, see, I actually, I don't know, maybe, like, I'm, like, waving my Team Bella flag. I like Nikki Bella. I don't get the hatred and, like, the dislike and stuff. Where, like, I understand the whole model stigma. But she has completely improved as compared to what she used to be.
I've heard that too, yeah.
Right. Nikki's not the problem. Brie isn't very good, though.
Yeah. And Nikki's kind of
isn't
like,
Brie the champion?
No, that's Nikki.
Oh, okay, then never mind.
Brie's married to Daniel Bryan.
That I knew. Yeah. The Brie and Bri. That worked.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying that's the only way I remember which one is married to who. It really is.
Oh, goodness gracious. I take it you don't watch Total Divas.
I mean, Sarah, every time I want to, just something comes up. It's really unfortunate. Otherwise, I mean, I'd be watching every week. Like, tough enough.
No.
Okay.
I stopped with that back in 2002.
That was a good move.
Yeah.
That was a good move. But yeah, I mean, speaking of, I mean, the reason why, you know, we're all, you know, a lot of people say, hey, you're supposed to be talking about independent pro wrestling. Well, it's like, where do you think some of these people came from? That's why it's important to kind of judge the impact that they were having. It's why we cover NXT, you know, with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens and Adrian Neville, because there is the aspect of, yes, we talk about independent pro wrestling, but once we see where they're going, and I guess it's important to this point, guys like Seth Rollins, he just won both, well, I guess the two top titles in WWE. You know, he has the first one, the US title, that's debatable, but you know, it's important that, you know, we kind of have that perspective of ultimately this is where a lot of them want to end up, so it's important to kind of bring that out. But again, you know, NXT TakeOver, a successful show, one of the better shows. And then I guess according to Jerome, if you just want to chime in a few thoughts about it, CR, I don't know if you watched it, SummerSlam didn't quite live up to that, huh?
If you take away the endings of all the matches, you'd probably have a really good show, because the effort was certainly there. The problem is that the finishes were just dreadful for the most part. I mean, Jon Stewart costing John Cena the title was pretty eye-roll worthy. The Brock Lesnar Undertaker finish, I mean, it's amazing. Those two guys were having a really good match, like something that would completely steal the show, and the Undertaker, like, this is like his last great effort that we're ever going to see from this guy, and then they do that finish. But yeah, I thought SummerSlam was, it could have been outstanding. If you don't care about the booking, then it was a really good show. But the one thing I'll say is the Divas Revolution match was very, very bad. That is the type of match that will hurt the division significantly. And it hurts because the fans were chanting for Sasha at one point. She did one move, and then she did a dive to the outside, and that was it. So they got Sasha over on Saturday, did nothing with her on Sunday. Literally nothing with her. And then there was just an interminable heat segment, and it was very sloppy at times, and the crowd stopped caring because the person they wanted to see was Sasha. So the Divas Revolution match was pretty much a disaster and the complete opposite of, I think, what you would want from a match like that, especially within the context of the previous night getting one of the best matches of the year.
Mm-hmm. Sarah, you were going to say something? Did you see SummerSlam, or you had thoughts?
Yeah, I watched SummerSlam, and yeah, the finishes were kind of like, worthy, especially after, like, you have, like, decent matches and the show was kind of going fine. And then it was just, like, so many those finishes back to back. It just was like, oh, my God, like, can we just, like, stop? Like, one SummerSlam, not have these type of finishes and stuff. But, you know, I kind of agree with Jerome with the Divas Revolution match. It's one of those things, like, I try to make fans understand. I am a full supporter of the Divas, but I am not going to go out of my way to get my hopes up. I had a feeling this match was going to happen like this. And a lot of fans said that they hated the match. The match was so terrible. And then there was a lot of fans saying, like, you know, I enjoyed it. It wasn't, like, extremely bad. It wasn't horrible. It was just, I would think that there would have been something more in this match. And after all these weeks leading up to this, I didn't get that feeling. I love that they got a lot of time for this match. But the one thing I kind of bothered me was, I understand it was like a three-team elimination match. You got 9 women. I was thinking, because they never actually, like, explained how you were going to be eliminated. I was thinking everybody's going to be eliminated one by one. But instead it wasn't. It was one and done.
Yeah, I heard that was really confusing in the build-up to it. So.
Yeah, and that kind of, like, put a bummer on me, and I'm like, okay, maybe they're not going to do that because of time constraints and stuff. But I was just sitting there thinking, like, you really want people to drive this home that this is important. Give that extra time to make fans understand that this is important, and this is not for you to get up and go to the bathroom. This is not for you to chant senseless, stupid things. This is for you to actually watch and pay attention to, because we are going to change something thing that you have been harping on for so long. And instead, fans had so many negative reviews and stuff, and I was just like, maybe this did more harm than good.
Right, particularly like Jerome said, when you hype up something that's supposed to be a change the night before, and they have one of the best matches of the year out of any wrestling, doesn't matter, you know, what gender or whatever, and then you kind of come back the next night and you give this, it does nothing for your movement.
And then thing I don't like about it is that when they first debuted, they were saying, like, Nikki Bella has more competition now. You want a competition, here's your competition. The thing I really don't like about this thing, this whole team aspect, is because we're getting away from what is actually important, that title.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And that should always be the focal point. Apparently, though, the New Day didn't save SummerSlam for you guys, because I saw that GIF online. It looks spectacular.
The tag title match is probably the best match on the entire show. And that's not an exaggeration. I mean, that New Day celebration was worth like a half star by itself. So if you get a chance, you've got to find the GIF. It's so great. But I think the thing that has bothered me about this whole Divas Revolution is I never saw the logic in bringing up 3 women up at the same time. Just because I think it's really hard to get 3 people over at the same time when the Divas division is not going to get its own TV show. So if you're just going to bring out all 3, then none of them are going to get over. If you want to bring up Charlotte first, do that. If you do that, do it in a logical way. If you bring up Charlotte first and then you have Sasha lose the belt to Becky, then you can bring Sasha up, and then in a few months, you know, Becky can lose, and then you can bring her up. But I think it really hurts all 3 of them that they've just been brought up like this. And I think NXT got extremely lucky with that they had the Bayley story as sort of a backup that they could tell, and it actually worked out. But ultimately, I think the better story would have been Becky winning the championship, especially after their spectacular match at one of the more recent NXT TakeOver specials. So it's just unfortunate that these women have been slotted in this position, and Stephanie McMahon co-opting this whole thing also doesn't help, because a revolution has never been started by someone in authority. So that's the main argument against having Stephanie McMahon. I mean, if it's something with WWE, then there has to be a McMahon associated with it. And I think, for a lot of fans, I think that also hurts the perception of this angle as well, because instead of it being something fresh and different, you know, you still got the McMahon family associated with it.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. And it is what it is. It's going to continue going forward. So, I mean, I guess end of the day, though, try to support it, but keep your expectations tempered, right? That's kind of the key to this. Don't fly off the handle and think it's going to go too far. But unless you guys have any other thoughts, I think we should move on to the other big shows that happened this past weekend. A lot of big news coming out, and of course, you can always check out all the results, pwponderings.com/results. We got Legacy Wrestling, Smash Wrestling, Global Force, CWF Mid-Atlantic had a big show, Freelance Wrestling, and Ring of Honor as well. We have all those results, including the Aftershock TV taping results. Those are spoilers for future episodes, so we're not going to discuss those on the newscast. We probably will discuss them on the podcast of Honor that we should be recording. But Jerome, Field of Honor, it did take place, and, you know, why don't we just get this out of the way. Jerome, what do you have against simultaneously revealing news? Live, particularly when it's such big news. Come on, Jerome.
I mean, what's the point of streaming something if it's just literally a bunch of guys in suits making an announcement? That makes no sense. Just announce the shows! It's not a big deal. And number one, how many people were actually watching the stream? Number two, the stream failed. Because that's what happens when Ring of Honor tries to stream things. It doesn't work. So don't do it!
Yeah, that is particularly unfortunate. But some big news going forward. You know, Ring of Honor will have two events in February in Japan, two full shows. And even though, yes, the Ring of Honor world title is going to be defended, it is not the first time it's ever been defended in Japan. But, you know, salient details in that. But they are also going to have New Japan talent over for the 14th anniversary show. It's going to be taking place in Las Vegas. And apparently the annual May New Japan tour, the joint shows, they're hoping to expand them to additional cities. They also said that there's going to be a lot of Ring of Honor talent headed over to Japan and a lot of Japanese talent coming over to the United States that have never been here. So my hopes to have Hanma, they're still alive, and I'm happy for that.
I don't think that's going to happen, Chris.
Oh, God.
Hanma is... connected, if you know what I mean, or was connected, so that's probably not going to happen.
I am the negative Nancy of the show, Jerome. Don't kill my dreams.
I'm not being a negative Nancy. I'm making an observation about the connections, so to speak. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Oh, so. Speaking of, God, I can't believe we didn't... Ciara, Kana was shown live at the NXT TakeOver show. What the heck is up with that? Completely forgot.
I guess she just wanted to... Come see a show.
No, Ciara.
Wouldn't you want to hang out with Ric Flair at a show? I mean, I kind of want to do that.
Well, I think she had her seats already, and she did not realize that Flair was going to be there. And then when she got there, it was like, oh, God, it's too late. It's no going back. Like, I'm next to Flair.
The one thing I'll say is, Kana is someone that would certainly make the WWE Divas division way more interesting because she has a reputation for kicking really hard and stiffing people. So if she actually ends up in WWE, her wrestling the Divas will be fascinating. If she wrestles Eva Marie, I will consider flying to Full Sail just to watch that.
No, I will send my own letter to WWE. Please do not.
You don't want to see Eva Marie get concussed after a kick to the face from Kana?
No. No, it kind of scares me. And I hear that she's very nice, but it's just, what she does in a ring, it just, oh God, like, it's just so frightening. Like, I'm scared for anybody to get in a ring with her, even men. Like, she's just that intense. She kicks really hard. Like, she kicks you so hard that, like, you can feel it just watching the match. And she's not afraid to be stiff with anybody, and she has a reputation over in Japan for that. And there's been rumors over years that she has injured people for that. And I don't know if they're true or not, but I can believe it.
It's an easy fix. You just have Kana and Kenta have a match, and either one tries to stiff the other, we all know what happens. And boom, they never stiff anyone again. That's the old school of taking care of that problem. So
I don't know. Kana would probably like demolish Kenta. Like, she's just,
I can't like believe you just said that.
I'll say this: if Kana is joining the WWE, in all seriousness, I think she would significantly tone herself down.
Yeah.
She would be smart. She's got to be smart enough to know that.
I don't doubt that she wouldn't tone her style down. She's a businesswoman. She's been around in the business for so long. She's, understand that she doesn't have to do certain things. And some things she can do if she wants to, but I wouldn't doubt that she would do it. But the thing that I kind of was like annoyed by her presence being there was the fact that you had so many people go quickly to report that she was signed, and there's never been anybody to confirm that she has signed.
Right, and one of the people who would know this is on this podcast right now. If Connor was signed, Sierra, I think you would know.
That would be the headline of the roundup. Connor is signed.
I mean, there are other people that I could think of that would know this as well. A certain Irishman, but
there's plenty of sites that would confirm it. Especially the big Japanese magazine over there. They would have confirmed it first and foremost. Like, hey, she signed. She's going to the company. They were kind of like, that's kind of how I found out about Nana Takahashi leaving Stardom. It's those sites that people don't really go to, because it would have came out over there first before all these other people who have no sources start reporting it. Annoyed me.
Because in Japan, pro wrestling is still covered like a sport, so there's legitimate journalism that covers, your New Japans and your Stardoms and all your places like that.
Yeah, and it's taken completely seriously, and I think some fans over here in the United States who might know of her don't understand the culture over there. If she was signed, she would have probably have confirmed this a while ago, as it's being reported that she was signed weeks ago. She's a freelancer. She's not signed to anybody. She can go and come as she please. But there's no report of her confirming this, so it's like, when I see those annoying reports, it's like, oh my god, can you guys sit down? And then when I looked at NXT, they spelt her name wrong, and then I was on Twitter and I was telling people, I'm like, it's not spelt like that. It's K-A-N-A. There's another Joshi over in Japan whose name is spelt like that.
I was just about to bring that up. Apparently she mentioned that on Twitter, like people tweeting at her saying, hey, we heard you at NXT. Oh, wait, not you. Yeah.
And she was getting bombarded with tweets and stuff sent to her about hey, I heard you at NXT. And she's just like, what?
Probably more confusing than anything else.
Yeah, and there's still people referring to Kana as that Kana, and I'm just like, no, no, no. If you don't understand Joshi's, don't report on it. Don't talk about it. That's how
this
I feel.
It's like when WWE signed the wrong one-legged wrestler. It's the same principle, basically.
It's just, if she signed, it would be, I don't know, that division would just be so, completely different. The atmosphere. When's the last time you've had a Japanese woman in that company?
Kong had all of, one match, though, so that doesn't even really count.
Yes, was it for a few?
No.
No, one. I think it was just one.
Was it just Survivor Series 95?
Yeah, I believe it was just one, and then they had another, and then that was it. And the main reason why that was done is because Vince seen how stiff she was in the match with Chaparita Asari on Raw, and he was scared. He was terrified.
Isn't that one of the reasons that Medusa / Alundra Blaze left? Or is that a rumor?
I believe that was... I'm not sure. It's been a while. I believe that was one of the main reasons, because she was practically telling WWE who to bring in for her to work with over in Japan. And the whole thing with Bull Nakano, that, when they released her and got rid of her, she wanted Kong. And when that whole thing happened and Vince was terrified of what she did to Asari in the match, and he was just like, no. And the one thing that kind of disappointed me about that time was you had Kyoko Inoue come over and have that one-off match with Alundra Blaze in a tag team match. I think they were going against Kong and, what's her name? Watanabe. And after that was gone, and Kyoko Inoue should have been a star there. She's bright, she's colorful, she's charismatic, she's amazing. And it didn't happen because Vince just was terrified of Kong, and he didn't know what to do with the women.
Well, you know, that did happen. But yeah, no, it's still pretty exciting right now. A lot of people, as you said, still kind of reporting it incorrectly. I know that some of the more trusted sites like The Torch and The Observer, they didn't say she was signed, but they did notice, like, hey, they did put her on the screen. That is kind of interesting, yeah. You know, that they wouldn't call attention to her. So obviously something is going on, because it's not like they didn't take the time to do that just to be nice guys.
Well,
that doesn't mean she's signed or anything. It just means that they knew she was there.
Well, there's a rumor going around that this was like weeks ago, that the rumor then was that Kana, Hikaru Shida, and two other girls from Over Japan got a tryout. And from this rumor that's going around now is saying that Kana never attended a tryout. She never had to do a tryout. So I'm just like, well, which one is it? That's the kind of like tricky thing. You don't know what to believe unless it's actually out there confirmed.
Yeah, and we'll find out though. At some point, we really will find out. But yeah, why don't we get back to Ring of Honor? They had the big joint shows. Well, not joint show. They had Field of Honor show. They also had the New Japan talent on the TV tapings. Some really great matches, of course. Like I said, go and check out the results on the website. But some of the more the standout things, obviously, you know, Adam Cole. I guess he had a really good showing. But also, they had a what is it? Kushida having a match, and essentially they had, well, I don't know, I don't know if this is kind of a spoiler or not, but it kind of is. Actually, you know what, I won't talk about it here, because that's spoiler territory. But needless to say, they booked kind of an angle on a Ring of Honor show, and it is going to have an impact, because Matt Sydal,
was announced.
He's on the shows coming up. So they kind of booked an angle, and it just kind of shows that the relationship between New Japan and Ring of Honor, it's strong. So
it's going to be really strange, because Matt Sydal and Ricochet have very strong Dragon Gate relationships, and Ricochet obviously recently was in New Japan for the Sumo Hall Triple Shot, and now Matt Sydal is going to be going to New Japan, and obviously, it's great. It's great for the junior division, which, I mean, if you look at the junior division, it's probably the strongest it's been in a long, long time. When you consider you've got guys like Kushida, Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish, and so many others, I mean, it's that junior division's pretty great. And Kushida himself is probably someone who is actually undervalued for his work that he's done in New Japan. Obviously, with the G1, a lot of the heavyweights are getting the press, but Kushida's had a really, really good year, and I would argue that his performances in Ring of Honor have been some of the strongest of any of the New Japan talents.
Agreed. So, yeah, at the Field of Honor show, an estimated attendance of 2,200. It's a really good show. Ari Bernstein, Chris McHugh.
That is a really good draw.
It really is. Very, very happy for Ring of Honor for drawing that. Some of the more notable matches, the Intercontinental Champion, Goto defeated Michael Elgin, which was said to be a pretty good match. The Briscoes defeated the Time Splitters. Unfortunately, Alex Shelley, his two front teeth were broken in from a knee from Mark Briscoe. The mouth guard was also broken. And he tweeted out that, hey, you know, his family is kind of asking him to maybe step away from wrestling. But he is announced for the upcoming New Japan shows. So, you know, probably not going to step away anytime soon. Okada had a really good match with Roderick Strong. Everything I've read said that match is one to go out of your way to see. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Wait, Chris, so you're telling me that Roderick Strong had a really good match? That's what you're telling me?
You know, with the IWGP Heavyweight Championship.
I'm Chris. I'm flabbergasted by this.
Jerome, when we finally get Roderick Strong versus Nick Gage, we'll see what you say then. Because that's going
to
happen.
I would pay money to see that. I don't care what the rest of the card is. I would pay to see that.
Yeah, not going to lie, I would too.
Someone, come on, Drew. Come on, Super Dragon, do it.
Well, Strong signed, so I don't think he can do it. But actually, no, you're right. Dragon could do it in PWG. That could happen.
Haha, that's why I said Super Dragon.
There you go. And then also the Jay Lethal, the Ring of Honor World and Television Champion, with Shinsuke Nakamura defeated Red Dragon with the lethal injection on Bobby Fish. So it looks like they're kind of keeping Kyle O'Reilly strong. Fish, I mean, yeah, he's the number one contender to the TV title. But, you know, someone's got to take the pin. But, yeah, coupling with this, it should be mentioned, like we said, that New Japan, they announced some of the details for their upcoming shows. They have announced AJ Styles versus Okada for the IWGP World Heavyweight Title at the King of Pro Wrestling show. That's going to be, it's going to be a good match. You know, we all know this. But a lot of other names out there as well. And just so you can check out all the names, include, like Jerome said, Matt Sydal is going to be on there. And that, I do think that's kind of interesting how, like you said, he went back and worked with Dragon Gate like Ricochet, but Ricochet is also supposedly going to be on future New Japan shows. So, and then, yes, there was that image of Delirious and Ricochet, you know, meeting and whatever. So, I don't know. Could he come to Ring of Honor? I guess he could. Why not?
I certainly hope so. I think Ring of Honor needs Ricochet. Someone like Ricochet desperately. They need another high flyer. They need someone with a lot of cachet. And I think Ricochet fits the bill on both of those accounts. And he's got that international pedigree going for him. So it makes a ton of sense to me to have Ricochet be a part of the company.
They're also doing a Matt Sydal versus ACH, a best of five series. It kicks off Friday, September 11th in Dearborn, Michigan. The second match will be in Chicago, Illinois, September 12th. The third match, September 18th, at All-Star Extravaganza in San Antonio. I believe that's night one. And then the next four and five will be to be determined if necessary. So, yeah, going to be a good series of matches. I don't know if that – I know that ACH was also kind of on the radar for New Japan. So, you know, they're having this best of five series. Even though they're, like, what, one of three tag teams in Ring of Honor right now? But anyway, because, you know, why not have a series? It's going to be good wrestling. Don't get me wrong. But it's just very weird.
The argument with Ring of Honor is never about the quality of the in-ring.
Yeah,
it's about some of the booking, the inexplicable booking decisions, and the decade being on six segments of the TV show a week or something like that. So
that is still happening, and yes, still there was some type of a situation between BJ Whitmer and Steve Corino. So you know what, just have the match already, guys. Have it at All Stars.
Get it over with, please.
Yeah. I mean, this is definitely the long build. And I know some people that are genuinely enjoying it. I just can't get excited for it.
This is what I want to know, because Sierra doesn't talk about Ring of Honor that much. What do you think of all of this? What do you think of Ring of Honor? What is the state of Ring of Honor in your opinion?
I haven't watched Ring of Honor in, like, forever. And then when I do watch it, I'm usually like, what is going on? Like, that's how I usually am. The whole Whitmer and Corino thing, it's like, the long build, I like long builds. But when it gets to the point where you feel like, you know, when you're in grade school and you have those two, like that guy and a girl that keep teasing each other and they want to date but they don't date, and you're just like, just date already. Like, that's how it feels right now. Like, Jesus. Have the match. Let's get it over with. But they really need to bring in new talent and different talent. Like, I feel like I've been seeing the same people for the past couple of years. Over and over and over and over and over. And it's getting kind of dry. You know, I like when they bring in the Japanese talent, but, you know, that can only go on but for so long. There's so many guys on the indies right now that deserve that shot, that could actually excel in that shot, but they have to turn their attention to them. They can't always rely on the same people over and over. I feel like I see the same people in every promotion anymore.
Right.
I hear that.
And you mentioned Steve Corino and BJ Whitmer dating. Mary Elizabeth Monroe and Mrs. Corino are not happy with that statement.
I'm just saying, like, Jesus, like, just play the date already. Like, just go for it.
Oh man, I don't even know what to say about that.
It could be double date. I mean,
I'm not gonna lie, if they decided to date, that might actually be better than a potential match.
It just feels like a lover's quarrel going on live television. Like, come on. Like,
I mean, they're even arguing over his kids, so I think you might be onto something, Sarah.
I'm just saying,
Ring of Honor, the progressive promotion. See, that's what we're getting here. Haven't even looked at that nuance. But yeah, so They do have a show coming up Saturday, well, this Saturday, August 29th. They have the full card, the main event, the world and television champion Jay Lethal, and the Ring of Honor tag champions, The Addiction, going up against Adam Cole and Red Dragon. Jay Briscoe versus Moose, that is happening. You know what? It's actually probably going to be better than I would have said maybe, you know, a couple months ago. Mark Briscoe versus Cliff Compton. I know, Jerome, you're looking forward to that match.
Oh, no, I don't care.
No, it's happening.
I literally forgot that Ring of Honor had a show this week. They're running Atlanta, correct?
Yes.
That February Atlanta show is like one of the best wrestling shows of the year, and this will not be.
No, it might not be up there. Matt Sydal and ACH are going to be facing each other at very soon, starting September 11th, going up against War Machine. Roderick Strong versus Caprice Coleman. The Kingdom versus Will Ferrara and Watanabe. Imagine that match. Michael Elgin versus Adam Page. And Corey Hollis versus Cedric Alexander. These matches are happening. That's all I can really
say. It's not going to be a show that you're a contender. Let's put it that way.
No, it is most likely not. So, since we have been talking a lot about, you know, a lot of the topics that we have, you know, we're kind of running low on the live portion of the show. So I want to bring in Brian to talk about the upcoming shows this weekend, you know, just so that we get a part of it on the live portion. And this podcast is going to go long, folks. So you're going to want to subscribe to us on iTunes, on Stitcher, on TuneIn Radio to get the full version. But Brian, how are you doing, man?
I feel like I entered like a parallel universe and everyone kind of went with me, and now we have Sting challenging for the WWE title.
You know, you just had to spoil Raw for me, didn't you? Because, man, I was going to go back and watch
it. It's all over the freaking world already, man. It's, what kind of universe are we living in where we have a segment with Jon Stewart, Ric Flair, and John Cena, and John Cena looks like the babyface for beating up the celebrity, and Ric Flair just standing there not doing anything? What universe did I enter in the last fucking hour?
A pretty weird one. But Brian, we're not here to
talk
about.
Talking about BJ Whitmer and Steve Corino dating. So
I overheard a little bit of that. I was listening to the live show about 10 minutes. That was pretty awesome. I'll give her that. That's a great storyline right there.
It's better than what they're already doing.
It'll be a double date with their wives and girlfriends. So
there you
go. Why not?
Why not? But you know what? If you do have a wife or a girlfriend, you could take them to the Battle of Los Angeles this weekend. And Brian, that's why we have you on the show today. I know that we've previewed it. We've talked about all the matches. But Jerome, we got to get some of our predictions in. And Shara, you know, since you're here, we're going to give you some predictions too. Because trust me, it doesn't matter. We're never going to be right. In fact, I think in what, the last...
I got the G1 right. If I get Bola right, then that's a miracle, because
that's amazing.
I literally have no idea.
I want to say what, guys? Our record the last 3 or 4 years since starting to, you know, really starting to delve into Bola and trying to predict it, we've never been right about anything. So that's our record.
That was Ricochet last year, but not a lot of people wanted to say it because it was like the obvious choice, and they never go with the obvious choice. But then Ricochet won, so...
Did I pick Ricochet last year?
I don't think you did. No.
Oh, he was like the general consensus last year.
No, I picked Gargano, and I was pissed because I was wrong.
And then there was... Yeah. Well, you know what, guys? Let's just go with this. And guys in the chat room, yeah, we see what you're saying. You know... Pentagon Jr., sure. Timothy Thatcher, sure. Why not? Let's just start
with
some predictions.
Throw games out and just say, yeah, you're going to be the winner. Yeah, you're going to be the winner.
I mean, you can do that.
So yeah, you know what? Just for fun, just because, Sarah, you know, you don't come on the newscast very often, we're just going to go with you. Do you even know who's in the Battle of Los Angeles this year?
Okay. That's a lot of people.
Right. But I mean, like, are you aware that it is mostly, like, Lucha Underground guys and the PWG mm-hmm. guys? Oh, okay, so you at least have that.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, what matches, or, you know, I could throw out some of the matches, but overall, like, who do you think is a favorite to win? I guess, you know, either just say it's going to be Lucha Underground guy or PWG guy. You don't have to name a specific name since I'm assuming you don't have the brackets right in front of you.
No, I don't have the brackets in front of me. I don't know what it is, but I feel like everybody is looking for more so to somebody from Lucha Underground winning. It seems like it's like the most popular thing right now, and people are still like dying over that. Like, you know, that there's another season going to possibly be announced, hasn't been announced. Everybody's just waiting on that, but That's how I feel people are thinking. But for me, I think it's going to be somebody from PWG.
That is probably a good bet. I mean, speaking of the guys from Lucha Underground, we got Aerostar, Drago, Phoenix. I guess you could say any of them. Angelico, I mean, if you're going to say Angelico is a Lucha Underground, which he is, but I known of him for a little while before that. And then I guess Ricochet, yeah, if we're going to break kayfabe, he's a Lucha Underground guy, even though he is a PWG guy, so whatever. But yeah.
Quit asking people, Chris. That's not our gimmick.
I know. It's not our gimmick. Okay. So you know what? I'm just going to throw this out there. I could see Drago and maybe... Wait. Which one is... No, Aerostar is better than Phoenix, right, guys? Phoenix, Aerostar is
better? I would say Phoenix is probably the better of the two, but...
Okay, because I think I'm getting them confused in my head.
Definitely the better, like, performer, especially since he did the Mil Muertes matches.
Okay, so then... Okay, yeah, I'm getting them confused. So Phoenix and Drago, I think, will at least make it to the finals? I'm going to throw that out there, and then... I mean, but then there's Pentagon Jr. Damn, and you had that first round match of Drago versus Pentagon Jr. Damn.
I think this is the long con. I think Trevor Lee is winning. And
me too!
Damn it, that's what I was going to... I was going to say Trevor Lee and Ricochet are also in the finals.
He's winning the tournament.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Or the semifinals.
There really isn't any doubt in my mind about it. I feel pretty confident in looking through this tournament and, you know, actually looking at the brackets. I'm not going to say it's obvious, but there's very little doubt in my mind. Because if you look at it, I'm basically eliminating all of the international guys. And that's like half the bracket right there.
Zack Sabre Jr., yeah. He'd be the only one I think would have a chance.
Because I just don't see most... I don't see any of these guys coming back to PWG for the September show or the October show. So that's why it makes it a lot easier for me to just eliminate like half the bracket right there. You know, Rich Swann, there's a lot of rumors surrounding him. Chris Hero... There's no appeal to him winning whatsoever. Timothy Thatcher, Drew Gulak, I think those guys, you know, this is next year, maybe. Ricochet's already won it. So if you really start to nail this down, Trevor Lee, I think, looks like a better and better choice.
Who do you think he faces in the finals, I guess, just to make it fun?
God, I have no idea. Here's the other thing. I think some people would say Biff Busick, but the money with Biff Busick at this point is a match with Super Dragon and not a PWG championship match. So I don't think Biff Busick is winning for that reason, because I think they're going to do Super Dragon at some point in the very near future. So, but yeah, I'm just looking at this, and I really think it's going to be Trevor Lee that comes away with the Battle of Los Angeles trophy.
Damn, you know, that's kind of what I was going to say. But, you know, I'm just going to Pentagon Jr. and... maybe Trevor Lee in the finals, and maybe Pentagon Jr. gets... I don't know. Brian, help me out here. What's going to happen?
It's got to be one from each, like, you know, part of the
yeah,
world.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. So that's why I was thinking maybe you guys are saying Trevor Lee and then Zack Sabre Jr. in the finals.
Yeah. I mean, you could also do a semifinal or, like, a straight-up one-on-one between... because I think there's an interesting match between Pentagon Jr. and Zack Sabre Jr. I've said it before. You got Jr. versus Jr., and you got Armbar versus Armbar. You know, the battle of who can break their opponent's arm first, basically. That'd be freaking sweet to watch on night three. One thing I noticed, and maybe it's just me being, you know, kind of like a conspiracy theory, but when Kyle O'Reilly in 2013 came out of nowhere and won Battle of Los Angeles, in his first round match, he defeated Trent, and Trevor Lee in the first round this year is facing Trent. So I'm either out of my mind, or I'm just really into this Battle of Los Angeles more than ever. Because I really want Trevor Lee to win, I swear to God.
You're basically saying
that Trent can never win Battle of Los Angeles. That's what you're saying.
Oh, yeah, kind of. But, on the other hand, I mean, he can probably win DDT4. He already won once, and I want to see him and Rocky Romero do a DDT4 next year, so that's just a shout-out for next year. But, yeah, I mean, I see Trevor Lee doing the thing that I've been finally waiting for, the package pile driver, and win the freaking final with the package pile driver, but... who knows at this point? He probably forgot about it. I know he still teased it earlier in the year, so that's me and my theory on that one. And, man, night two. Holy crap. I'm really excited more for night two. I don't know about you guys, just for that six, man. And I saw that thing that Biff Busick posted on, I think it was, what, Twitter or Facebook or whatever. But, He claims he doesn't know if this is going to be his last PWG event, or you know, he doesn't know if he's going to be there at the end of the year or where he will be. But
spoilers: he's going to be there at the end of the year. The Super Dragon match has to happen. It has to happen.
You'd think that, but then sometimes shit just doesn't happen. Like we never got Samoa Joe versus Kenda, and I never know why, but we just never got it. You know what I mean? So
I hear that.
But if this is the closest thing, then so be it. And at least the Bucks can kind of, you know, protect Super Dragon a little bit, because we all know Super Dragon kind of needs. I mean, he did when he came back in 2011. He did a tag and a six man. So
Brian, let me ask you this: would it be bigger for that crowd if Trevor Lee won the Battle of Los Angeles with the Package Pile Driver, or if during that six way he hit Super Dragon with the Package Pile Driver?
Ooh.
Right. Right.
You know what? I gotta go with the final though, because I think it's Biff's moment to fucking get Dragon. You know, with like probably the half Nelson suplex from the top through a table on fire, or barbed wire.
Yeah, but that's the tease, right? Maybe you kind of get something between Dragon and Biff, but they don't get so much involved in the tag match that you still want to see the singles match. That's
if they do a singles match, for Christ. I don't see. That's the thing, man. That's what I think.
You don't have the Die Dragon Die shirt out if you're not going to do it. That's just crazy talk.
Ooh, that's a seller.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, man, it all depends, man. That's why I think that six-man tag is going to be really telling in the final 5 minutes of what's going to happen for Biff Busick in the next 4 months.
Granted, Jerome and I were saying how smart it was to have the Mount Rushmore 2.0 shirts out. Right, Jerome? And Roderick Strong. Luckily, still going to be able to win
all of the money is what they made from.
Right.
So yeah, that's my pick, Trevor Lee, and man, those tag matches are going to be freaking sweet. I know it's going to be a Lucha Underground tag match on night one, and that's going to be insane. And you got the international.
Brian, I'm glad that you have taken what happened in G1 and you've learned from this. I think that's a smart move on your part.
Yeah. I learned my lesson, boss.
Yeah. Better to be wrong together than right on your own.
You just called it. I remember that preview podcast, and Jerome's just like, shut up, guys. It's going to be Tanahashi. And we're like, no, Nakamura. Like, nope.
And then I bathed in your tears.
Yes. I shed tears last night when Bayley won. I'm not going to lie. I mean, not a lot. It's just like, you know, teary-eyed. I mean, that was freaking awesome. Just got to shut that out. That's storytelling right there. I'm just going to say that.
There you go. See, Sierra, a man cried at that match. That's how good it was.
I mean, I don't doubt that men do cry.
I don't know what you're talking about, Sierra. I've never cried in my life.
I'm just glad that a man cried during a women's match for the right reasons.
Yes.
Yeah.
Turns out I wasn't the only one. I gotta spoil Mike here, or put Mike on the spot. You know Mike, and he did the same thing. I wasn't with him, but we texted each other like, yeah, man tears, man. Man tears.
Oh yeah, no. I, when I saw everyone talking about it, I mean that match. I'm gonna go and check it out. I'm looking forward to it. But guys, we're coming to a close of our live portion of the newscast. Like I said, we're gonna go long, folks. We still got a ton of news to discuss, and I guess the actual long portion up that's gonna be up on the website. So subscribe to us on iTunes and on Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. But Ciara, before we get out of here, since you're not on the newscast that often, why don't you put out some of your plugs so that people know where they can find you on social media?
Well, first and foremost, you can find me on Twitter at @CIARA 92189. You can send me pictures, results, news, anything. And you also can contact me on Facebook through the Women of Wrestling Facebook page. Even though Ring Bells is down, we still have the page operating. So if you have news, send it to me in the inbox. I will get to it, respond to you. That's where you usually can find me.
Yeah, and you know what? I appreciate Ringbell still shouting us out, letting people know that they can find your article up at PW Finds. Always, I say it's one of the highlights of the websites when your roundup goes up. So, tons of good stuff there. And thank you everyone for joining us live. We are going to have a lot of other stuff to discuss. Yes, Gabe at WWE NXT with Sal, you know, maybe there's something going on there. Lots of other news as well with CZW, Tier 1, CWF Mid-Atlantic, and also an interview with one of the Tier 1 wrestlers. So thanks everyone who joined us live, and we'll talk to you again next week. All right, so thank you to everyone who listened to us in the live portion of the show. We have a lot of other news to talk about, so I'm just going to start off with the Tier 1 wrestling interview I did with Jay George, who debuted at the Tier 1 debut show. In the promotion, he was very angry that he wasn't booked. And he has a kind of interesting angle going on. He is teaming up with Ashley America to go up against Jesse Brooks. And it's a weird kind of a stipulation of the match. If Jesse Brooks If she wins, she get basically it's a singles match. But if Jay George wins, Jesse Brooks is out of the promotion. So it's kind of an interesting take on the intergender wrestling thing, and it's a really fun interview. So everyone, give it a listen, and then we'll be right back. Joining me on the line right now, he is the unpredictable Jay George. He is doing some really big stuff in Tier 1 wrestling. Jay George, how are you doing, man?
Hey, man, what's going on? Thank you so much for having me on. I'm really appreciative of this opportunity.
Well, of course, you know, we had this all scheduled through Tier 1 wrestling, but, you know, their first show, their debut show, A New Hope, you weren't too happy not being booked on the show, man. What happened with that?
You know, and I'm kind of surprised the way everything kind of panned out and the way I went about handling my business that I would even be given the opportunity to do media for the company. But that just goes to show you, just the impact of my debut, if you will, at Tier 1. A bunch of people on the show I saw were booked on there, and it's fine. Look, I'm happy for them. They get a payday, but the fact that they were booked over me was kind of ludicrous. So I took it upon myself. I try to warn them. I put out a series of warnings that you can check out on my YouTube page. They're out right now. And they didn't heed the warning. So I came out. I made my debut. And I went after Bonesaw Brooks because I do have an issue with her. And Alex Mason came out. Now I have an issue with him. But he also has an issue with Ashley America. So we're looking at an intergender tag match at the upcoming show.
Why do you think Alex Mason decided to kind of stick his nose in your business? I know that he's a known name in that New York crowd, as are you, but I just – is there any previous issues between the two of you, or is it him just kind of trying to steal the thunder?
You know, man, the thing with a lot of – you know, all right, like back in the day in wrestling – wrestling was like filled with like men and animals and savages of human beings. You know, I'm talking about like fighters, you know, and now it's filled with a bunch of like comic book geeks and guys that, you know, they fawn over these Marvel movies. So my theory is Alex Mason in his infinite wisdom thought he was going to be some sort of hero he's going to come to the aid of Bonesaw Brooks. But my issue, I don't have an issue with him. I get where he's coming from completely. Like I said, he's trying to be a hero. That's good for him. But October 2nd, there's a rumble in the concrete jungle. He'll be in there with me. He'll find out what I'm all about, and he'll find out why he was wrong to come after me like that. Completely wrong.
Yeah, because it seems like, you know, you were out there, you were doing your thing, you know, Jesse Brooks and Ashley America, they just had their match, and it's like, you know what, this really doesn't have a lot to do with him. Jesse, and not that Jesse Brooks even needs his help, you know, she's a pretty tough customer herself, and based on the stipulation for the match, it is if you win, then Jesse Brooks, she has to leave Tier 1 Wrestling, but if Jesse Brooks and Alex Mason win, you know, you're going to face her at the next show one-on-one.
Yeah.
So it just kind of seems like, you know, Alex Mason, yeah, just trying to, I guess, get his name out there.
Hey, look, props that Alex Mason, actually, I didn't know this about him. The guy's a YouTuber. You can check out his YouTube if you want. I don't care. But you look, good for him. He does have a following. He has his name out there. So when I beat him, you know what I mean? He can tell all his followers and all his fans about how he just got beat by the unpredictable Jay George. Now, my issue with Brooks going into this thing is, you know, she calls herself the baddest woman on the planet. But let me tell you, I look at her, man, you know, and I see a plain old bully. All right. Ashley America has only been doing this for, I think like a few number of years, not too much, not compared to Bonesaw Brooks. And she's throwing around. She's the toughest woman on the planet. Nah, man, that's being a bully, and I don't like bullies. So I'm gonna put a stop to bullying October 2nd at the Rumble in the Concrete Jungle.
You're tag teaming with Ashley America.
Yeah.
How do you think that's gonna go? I mean, I'm assuming you guys have at least talked since then, and
right.
You guys have a plan.
Let me ask you a question, man.
Shoot.
Do you think I have a plan?
I'm going to assume you do, yes.
I would hope so, but actually, yeah, look, man, I've had a plan about how this whole thing... Are you familiar with Kanye West? I mean, I'm sure you
are.
Yes,
I am.
He's only the only greatest rapper of all time. He, when he put out his albums, he knew exactly there was an order to him. He put out College Dropout, right? Graduation, Late Registration. I'm doing the same thing here with professional wrestling. Everything I do is mapped out to degree. So I certainly have a plan, and me and Ashley are gonna we have something in store for Bonesaw Brooks and Alex Mason. But let me ask you a question. I mean, you were talking to me about earlier about kind of like the rise of intergender wrestling, and what's your take on this particular the idea of this being an intergender matchup?
I mean, honestly, I think it's just competition. You know, intergender wrestling right now, I think a lot of people are into it. And it's not, I don't think it's one of those things where it's like, oh, this is just a fad. I mean, because this has been going on for a while in independent wrestling, just small tidbits here and there. But for right now, I mean, hey, I think that it is what it is. I also think that you guys have a kind of a different aspect of it. And I was going to ask you that, you know, I'm not going to say that you purposely interfered in the women's match just because it was a women's match, but clearly, you know, like you mentioned, you know, you just saw it as Ashley America. She's not a quote unquote rookie, but you know, still pretty young in the business. And you just saw Jessie Books just kind of taking advantage of her, you know, like maybe she could have beaten her easily, but she just kept, you know, laying into her. What is your take on that? You know, do you have an issue with, you know, you don't just see them, oh, they're not just women wrestlers, but there it's still competition overall.
Absolutely. I mean, I think right now is an absolutely phenomenal time in our history, because right now there is certainly an uproar. Women have been battling these sort of feminist issues since the dawn of history, and we've always had this preconceived notion of what men can and can't do. And now everything's just kind of imploding. I mean, Ronda Rousey is she's a rock star. She's a legitimate top money-making star. You could obviously see this that's been going on, brewing the WWE for the past couple of years, is this, you know, what they're calling the Divas Revolution, and these women are kicking butt. We're possibly going to have another woman running for office in 2016. The opportunities that women are getting are showing that they're not just women, they're people. We're all human beings in this human race at the end of the day. You know, we're all one in the same, obviously, as we've seen it literally transform with all these also now transgender issues that are coming out. And I think it's an amazing thing, because like I said, we are all humans. So to me, it's not an intergender matchup. It's just a matchup. Because like I said, Bonesaw Brooks, she calls herself the baddest woman on the planet. So when I look at her, I see a plain old bully. And that's my issue with Bonesaw Brooks. It's not the fact that she's a woman or that a woman was booked on the card. It's that she took a spot that belonged to me. And you put anybody up against me in that situation, 10 times out of 10, I'm going to win.
I could see that for sure. And it is that thing. It's kind of like the backlash that Ronda Rousey kind of got when she, for her last fight with Betch Kohea, she was like, oh, I'm not going to just beat her in 16 seconds. I'm really going to make sure she learns her lesson for something that she said, you know, concerning a topic that was really sensitive to Ronda. And it was like, you know what? You just beat her. You don't have to, like, keep it in the ring and keep beating her up. Well, in the octagon for her. But yeah, no, I think that this has that interesting aspect. The other side, though, is that.
Yeah.
You're getting to work with Julia Smokes, who is, as a longtime Ring of Honor fan, I'm sure a lot of our listeners are too. Man, he has done a lot for independent pro wrestling. You know, he is a guy who has set the stage for, if you want to call it, the modern era of independent wrestling. I mean, what is that like getting to work with him? Even though, yeah, he's on the other side of the ring.
You know, and there you go. He's on the other side of the ring, and he's not going to be in the ring with me. And I'm, you know what? That's a fight. I'm not an idiot. It's a fight I'm not going to get into. And it's unfortunate that he had to be involved. But the one thing Julius Smokes did do was that he set down on a train on a ride from doing a TV show with this kid. That kid, well, wasn't much of a kid because it was me, the unpredictable J. George, and we were on this train together, and he talked to me, and I listened to him. And there were a lot of things to pick up from what he was saying to me, because I wasn't just going to let someone like Julius Smokes talk, and not pick out these little gems he's dropping. Because the fact of the matter is, this is a guy that him and, you know, and like we were talking about this earlier, you know, me and Rude Boy Riley both came together from Warriors Training Center. And me and him, we have a close relationship, and the fact that we were both able to share a spotlight moment, in a company like Tier 1, that's a New Hope for Wrestling, that's building the blocks again of, you know, of what the New York independent scene used to be. And it's companies like Tier 1 and Warriors of Wrestling that are personifying what the New York independent scene, was all about. And, the fact that me and Riley got to share that spot with the two guys, not just the two guys, but two of the guys that helped build that scene up some 10 odd years ago. That's a huge moment. The fact that I get to work with them, that's a big thing for me. That is what Tier 1 is all about, because they're building these blocks up. They're building me up to take over New York. But I'm not just going to take over New York. I'm going to take over the world, because that was a plan I always had as a child. So I thank Julius Smokes for being there. And it's going to be unfortunate because he's going to watch his girl get tossed around October 2nd at Rumble in the Jungle.
Yeah, it's going to be a great show. Queens, New York, October 2nd, Rumble in the Concrete Jungle. Seats are still available. Go to tier1wrestling.org. J. George, we appreciate you coming on the show, man. Before we get out of here, any plugs, social media, where can people follow you at?
Really, I had a lot of fun here. JGeorge489 is my Twitter, Instagram. If you YouTube the name, the letter J, George, a lot of people mess up the spelling, but it's JGEORGE. You can find that on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram. You'll find me all over the place, and I'm on Facebook. Send me a friend request if you want, I guess, but it's weird when I get friend requests from people I don't have any connection with, but whatever. Go do with it what you will.
There you go. Well, thanks again, J. George. Really appreciate the time, man.
Thank you, man. It was a blast.
So we want to thank J. George for joining us on the show. Of course, Tier 1's Wrestling next show, October 2nd, has Tim Donst, champion Luke Hawks, Caleb Conley going up against Gran Akuma, Joey Ace going up against Rude Boy Riley. It's going to be a really big show. Lots of fun stuff going on there. You can check out all the information at pwponderings.com. Speaking of promotions kind of working together, CZW, they have developed a, I guess, kind of a working relationship with, I believe, is Marvelous USA. Correct, Ciara?
Yes.
Okay, so I guess basically just, you know, kind of whatever it is you can tell us, since you do the Ring Bells Roundup, what can you tell us about this relationship and, you know, I guess how is it going to work? There's a lot of talent exchange, I realize that. So, let us know about it.
Yeah, it's, I was kind of, like, skeptical about this whole thing. Like, you know, like, most people have thought this was going to be, like, a one-show deal, but this is apparently like a relationship that's going to be going forward in the future, and it's going to be a lot of talent exchange with, you know, a lot of the graduates and some of the girls that work for CZW being going over to Japan through Marvelous. Like, for instance, right now we've got, you know, Renee Michelle Davian and graduate of CZW Penelope Ford going over to Japan. I believe all three are in Japan right now for Marvelous's shows, I think this month or next month, but they're going to be over there training. But it's kind of like one of those things, like, I don't know if I should be like, oh, this is exciting, or if I should be like, oh my God, like, no. Because it's weird to come out of nowhere with the show and Uchigeisa Nagayo, you know, being a part of this, and then she's got Takumi Iro from Stardom sign with her. It's like a weird, tricky situation, because they're setting up shop here in U.S. of their branch of the promotion, and then over in Japan, Chigesa is still signing people to the roster. So that's kind of like conflicting to me, because I'm just like, how are you signing U.S. talent if you're still, you know, try to build up one roster and you're still going to do shows here. But yeah, they already announced another show. I don't know if you guys have heard about it.
I didn't post the results up on the website, but I know that you had them in your article. And yeah, I'm also kind of wondering, how do you think that Dynamics is going to work with WSU? I know Jerome and myself, not always that kind when it comes to the booking of WSU, but I mean, does this kind of make it more interesting?
That's the thing. It's like they're keeping it separate.
But there are talent exchanges between the two, right? I'm just saying, it's kind of clear that they do have that working relationship, though.
Yeah, but it's like, I don't know, like, that's the thing that's, like, confusing me. I don't know if it's just going to be strictly with, like, people that graduate from CZW Training Academy, that are girls that are going over Japan, and not those that work for WSU, which is weird to me, because you would think that WSU would help play a part in this. When there's a lot of girls that work at WSU that would love to go to Japan and then bring some of the girls from over in Japan over into WSU. I mean, they've had Japanese talent over in WSU. They recently had a Mima Shimoda, Jenny Rose, you know, great talents. So you would think that would be like the connection, but it looks like they're trying to keep it separate for a reason.
Jerome, no matter what we've said, you know, how we feel about how, you know, DJ Hyde books and stuff, it is kind of interesting that he does have these relationships. You know, we're talking about the ones with BJW, with WXW out of Germany, and now with, you know, with Marvelous USA. It's just kind of weird that he's getting these business, and he's kind of the guy doing it. You know, there's really no other indie promotion, you know, outside of Ring of Honor that has these connections.
He's clearly got a lot of connections, that's for sure, regardless of what you want to say about the guy. He certainly got some good business relationships. It would be nice if CZW's booking was a reflection of that, because obviously, if you sit down and watch a CZW show, your eyes are gonna roll multiple times, and obviously, it's positive for, you know, someone like Penelope Ford, who is so new to the business of wrestling, for her to be able to go to Japan. That's gonna be a really big deal, because, you know, she's gonna be wrestling every night. And she's going to be wrestling a wide variety of opponents, so her improvement is going to be incredible. I mean, we see what happens with so many of these wrestlers. They go to Japan, and they just come back, and they're so, so much better. I think that's true for the women's wrestlers as well. You know, Heidi Lovelace and, you know, Jenny Rose, these are two people who've gone to Japan and come back a lot better. Cheerleader Melissa, of course. So, obviously, the same is probably going to happen with some of these CZW talents as well.
And then, speaking of, I guess, Cheerleader Melissa, she's still, what, the head talent scout for the USA for Stardom, right? Is it Stardom?
Yes, she's the ambassador.
Fine, fair enough. She's the ambassador. There was, I guess, right before we started recording, you said there was some recent news that they just confirmed. I'm assuming it's a match.
Well, I already pretty much, like, told everybody what's the next matches for, like, the next month. They haven't, like, said anything else, but the bit of news I got is kind of, like...
Well, what? Okay, I don't want to put you on the spot, so can you tell us on the show? Because if you can't, then I won't ask you.
Of course.
Okay.
It's already been confirmed publicly.
Okay, then there you go. So have at it.
Yeah, so Stardom has announced that WWE Hall of Famer Alundra Blaze will be heading over to the country next month. She will be in attendance for their finals of their five-star Grand Prix tournament. So she's going to be there. They also announced that she has been named Stardom USA Commissioner.
That is actually kind of cool. Considering that we were just talking about Aja Kong and stuff in WWF, that's kind of... It's kind of funny how that ties in.
Nice call back there.
That was.
So it's kind of like when I heard about this news and I've been sitting on it, I was just like, I just knew about that she was going over. I didn't know she was going to be working with Stardom USA's branch. But to hear this, it's kind of like, wow, like, what does that mean? You already got Cher Melissa. Now you got Alundra Blaze. Like, what? Like...
Man, if she brings over that WWF Women's Championship, that's going to be all over.
I'm just going to be done. Like, if she comes out there riding on a motorcycle, waving the American flag, like she was when she was going to take on Bull Nakano, I'm done. Like, it's just going to be 1994 all over again. Big Egg Universe.
It's going to be awesome. But yeah, no, I mean, a lot of stuff going on, and you know, women's wrestling still, it's getting, I don't want to say that it's a quote unquote revolution. No, cause no pun intended, but there is a lot of interesting stuff in women's wrestling. Yes, I know, Jerome.
It's a terrible idea. Robert, retweeted something, an image. It said, in memory, the Divas Revolution was killed today due to a variety of chance, but mostly due to the wave. July 13th, 2015 to August 24th, 2015.
Give Divas a chance. Come on, guys. So, yeah. So, other bits of news from this past weekend. Global Force Wrestling had their Grand Slam Tour show in Reno, Nevada. That's a whole TV taping. So, those are spoilers. You know, you can check out the results if you want. We're not going to really discuss those. But I did want to mention that this coming up weekend, Jerome, on top of all the other big shows happening, they have shows taking place Friday, August 28th and Saturday, August 29th. Both shows have the same lineup, so I guess I get to kind of kill two birds with one stone here. Kevin Nash is going to be live in the pre-show meet and greet, the Bullet Club versus Sonata and Ali Akbar, Kurt Hawkins versus Chris Masters, Sanjay Dutt versus Black Jeez, Kimberly versus Cherry Bomb, Kevin Matthews versus Pepper Parks, and Pat Buck versus Dirty Money. Jerome, the second set of TV tapings just took place this last week, and we still have no idea where they're going to be on television. I mean, what? I don't know what this is.
Are they really TV tapings if we don't have an outlet for them? I don't think that's a thing, right?
I had to put spoiler tags.
I think it's very, very clear. If that Grand Slam or that ballpark show that you just announced, if that was taking place in my backyard, I would shut my blinds. That's what I would do.
Yeah, it's not really much of one. I mean, Brian, you traveled to the Lucha Underground tapings. You were obviously interested in the card. I mean, this card, if it was, like, right there in L.A., would you go to it?
No, man, I'm not going to go to a pyramid scheme taping.
So there you go.
You don't have a TV deal, and you're doing TV tapings, and you got all these wrestlers that were in TNA, and now you got this freaking cross-promotion. It's a pyramid scheme. Like, come on, man, like. Everything is so, like, coincidental and, like, this timing and Jeff Jarrett coming back and blah, blah, blah. Ugh. Yeah.
Like I said, Brian only supports tax schemes, not pyramid schemes.
Yes.
Exactly. All right, so a big weekend in this, you know, a lot of events. We have, of course, PWG Bola. It's kind of funny. They're almost all tournament-based. You have PWG's Bola, which we just talked about. We have the Battle of New England returns from Beyond Wrestling that is taking place. I did an entire podcast with Drew Cordero on that, so you could go listen to that, including the new concept, the GRRR or the GR3, whatever it ends up being called. So go listen to that podcast. I don't really want to discuss it here because, hey, I'm telling you, just go listen to the other podcast.
Not to be confused with the YRR from FIP.
Whoa, exactly. That's a reference.
Wow, yeah, I was just about to say, Jerome, you really went far back for that one. Just saying. But also, so this past week in CWF Mid-Atlantic, they had their big show, Heartache Tonight 2015. Again, check out the results up on the website. But the big news coming out of it is that not only is Marcellus King in the finals for the Johnny Weaver Memorial Cup tournament that takes place this Saturday on the 29th, he's also the new CWF Mid-Atlantic Heavyweight Champion. I mean, he's a guy that I've been talking about. If you watch their weekly show every week, he just has a lot of fun matches. He's a big dude, too. So I'm kind of surprised that, you know, he isn't on the radar for some other places. But he is their new heavyweight champion. But he is also, as I said, in the semifinals. That also includes Roy Wilkins taking on the Rising Generation League champion, Jesse Adler. Marcellus King, the new Mid-Atlantic Heavyweight Champion, is going to take on the television champion, Chet Sterling, in the semifinals. And all of that takes place on Saturday. And then, of course, the finals as well. More matches to be announced. You can get your tickets over at CWF247.com. And that is Saturday, August 29th. So, yeah, a lot of big events happening this weekend. Like we mentioned, Global Force Wrestling, Ring of Honor, Beyond Wrestling, Bola, which, Brian, you will be live at. I'm wishing I could join you, but I unfortunately cannot. But, yeah, a lot of stuff. We're going to have all the results up on the website. And, guys, it's a big weekend. So thanks again to everyone who has joined us on the newscast today. Again, really appreciate it. And before we get out of here, as always, let's get some plugs. Brian, I'm just going to go to you first.
Yeah, it's Brian DeBrain on Twitter. It's DA, not the. And, you know, if you want to support us here at PW Ponderings, check out our Redbubble store. We got some
Straight Outta Reseda t-shirts and Haas Division t-shirts and whatnot. It's redbubble.com/people/pwpondering/shop, and I'll be repping the Straight Outta Reseda shirt this weekend and probably the Lucha on the Brain one. So, yeah, and I think if I have enough time to, you know, if I'm sober enough, which is probably not, I want to do like a live, at least 10-minute reflection of audio after night 1, 2, and 3, and I'll submit it to Chris, and hopefully put it on the website the next morning, and we're gonna experiment. I think I want to kind of experiment with that. I don't want to keep it too long. I want to do a recap because I probably won't be that coherent if I have my way at the bar, but I'll still be able to tweet and whatnot. So yeah, it'll be a long weekend for me. So it'll be fun though.
Drone, what do you have going on?
Just check out twitter.com/pwponderings, and let's thank Brian in advance for all of the new Twitter followers that we will be getting this weekend, as we'll be live tweeting Bola. So thanks, Brian.
Yeah, no problem. And I'll plug the store like every night. So
yeah. Do appreciate that. And, of course, thank you, everyone who listened. Always check us out, the website. And if you can, feel free to check out the little update I put about the website. We did get some comments about it being redirecting and stuff. Apparently, it was an exploit package that literally got released August 21st. We got hit on the 23rd, and it is now fixed. So the website should be nice and clean. We, of course, always want you guys to have a fun and safe experience when you visit the website. So apologies for that, but it is now all sorted. So we should be good to go. But thank you, everyone who listened, and we will talk to you again next week.
Boom.